Hello to everyone and welcome to this episode of Solo Voices. Today we are with an artist that is based in the city of Manchester. The Nancy Young Trio is making waves in the music scene with their unique sound and performances, and led obviously by the name by Nancy Young, that is her there. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me here. How are you doing?
Well, very good, very good, very good to have you. We don't have in this this time Miguel Boleta, that is acoustic guitar, and on drums David Murray, and on bass. Well, Miguel Boleta is on drums, Dave Murray on bass, and you on acoustic guitar. And this trio has released the Hagen Anon Hagen Part 2 on 15th of June. And we are here to showcase this particular music style. And what genres do you naturally blend when creating music?
In sort of like a chronological order, we started out as a jazz trio, but then got heavily into Latin music, namely bossa nova. But then it started to draw in earlier influences of when I started playing guitar, which is like rhythm and blues, and then soul and funk. So it's kind of a natural process, but it started with jazz, heavy Latin, and laced with like rhythm and blues with some older traits in there. Can't resist.
And what role does your local scene in your production, and when the trio was formed?
So the trio was formed in 2005 when we did our first recording, which was called an EP, three-track EP called Take a Seat. And we still play two of those tracks to this day, give or take, depending on when the gig is. But it was formed off the back of, or out of the fact I wasn't playing guitar. I was playing bass guitar in bands in that area. And where I'm originally from is from a town about 40 miles east from Manchester, called Colne, C-O-L-N-E. It's a strange word to say, Colne, but it's a great place for music, great place for the arts. But there wasn't anything going on with a guitar-led fusion trio at the and I didn't think it was going to be a fusion trio at the time, but it was born out of the fact I wasn't playing guitar, playing jazz, or playing bass in jazz bands, pop rock bands and all that. I was like, nah, this isn't, I'm not getting my thing out. So I just made a decision, thought, right, no, the guitar's coming back out and we're going to play instrumental jazz music. So it was, that's where it was formed and that's what we're doing now, albeit it's now in a few totally fusion, rather than originally it was going to be a straight ahead, like Wes Montgomery type of jazz trio. But I realized that I was fighting a losing battle, really, because I'm not that kind of player. I wanted to be, still want to be, but that's not where my natural tendencies lie. It is with fusion. It's like joining different genres and styles, and it reflects what I've been growing up listening to. It reflects what I'm listening to now. So, yes, that's the when and the how and the why.
That's impressive that your trio is a 20 years old trio. Is a lot of times you passed along many times and things. You are friends also outside the music thing, or just in the music thing?
Yeah, no, we are. I mean, the trio, I'm the constant in the trio, and I play with different bass players and different drummers around. It's like phases where it's a settled lineup, but then it shifts due to availability. So I've always got a change in rhythm section with me, which helps to fuel and develop the arrangements over time. And obviously different gigs with different lineups is different as well, all positive stuff. So yeah, the trio in its name has been around for 20 years. I'm the constant, but around me there's different shifting people. I'm very, very lucky that I've got a group of about seven or eight musicians, half bass players, half drummers that I can call upon, and they want to keep coming and playing with me. And they're quite open to the fact that it's changing. And so I've got a very cool thing going on. And I know I'm very, very blessed to have that opportunity to keep doing it. But in a selfish way, it keeps me on my toes because they bring different musical things with it as well. But in answer to your first question, yes, we are still friends.
And how did your personal experiences shape your music and world view?
I'm naturally quite an introvert person, really. And so the trio allows me to have that sense of introversion, but it allows me to be extrovert. It gives me a safe space to be an extrovert. I like to think a lot. I'm uncomfortable expressing opinions, even though I have them apart from a very small circle of people. But I think music enables me to get those out, albeit not as clear as words, but that's kind of how my music is shaped. It's introspective, but it does express quite a lot. But I do like to think, and I do like to let it out, albeit in a controlled way, even if it's uncomfortable at times. And it's a difficult question, that. And I suppose my introversion is coming out now. Well, I find it difficult to really express some of the deeper things, but that's where music helps me to spend time to think about it properly. If that's an answer, I'm not sure.
And what emotions do you aim to convey through your music?
There's a lot of sentimental and nostalgic qualities to it. As I mentioned in that previous question about being introverted, there's a lot of thoughtfulness going on. But there's a Portuguese word called saudade, I think I pronounced that right, which when I found that, and it kind of made sense as something that is strong in my music. And I played some great tunes called saudade, particularly one by Cannonball Adderley, where I was introduced to that word. And I think it sums up a lot of what my music is about as well. Along with that, I do try to keep a strong sense of joy and fun in what we're doing, even though there is a lot of nostalgic and kind of, not sadness as such, this is why that word's so good, but that quality to it. There are tracks that we've done or I've done that got a bit more anger and angst about them. There's one called Hydrant from an album called Snappy Daps, which is named after a parking dispute. So there is that. But this current single is the opposite of that, where it's a much more sentimental and longing kind of thought process. So it's sentimental for all the different ranges, but I'm trying to keep an element of joy in there.
And how do you keep your music like uplifting while addressing deep personal themes on the spirit of your music?
I try to keep when I've started writing something, the theme or the emotion involved in that song then comes out. I don't write to a emotional brief. I'll just start writing something, then as I'm working on it, it becomes apparent what its emotion or expression is trying to convey. So when I found out the purpose of that track, I'll then try and keep everything else around it simple to help enhance that. And by doing that, it keeps reminding me of why my music is of that certain nature. It's hard to keep stripping back all the bits that you like, but like for the current single, for example, as soon as it was present, that it was like a very strong nostalgic expressive thing, the temptation to put lots of things on top of it and expand the melody to a more developed and more varied melody was hard. But it was like, no, this has to be simple, this has to keep true to this straightforward melody, because that's the thing that gets you thinking inside yourself and to get you thinking in those sentimental ways. So it's reminding myself of what the individual track that I'm writing, what that individual unique message is, almost to the point of having a post-it note on the screen, you know, while you're on your guitar, on your pedal board, whatever it is. I'm just trying to keep it simple, to keep it clear, to keep that message there.
In your last release, for example, We Don't Have lyrics, and is that a way to stay focused on the music?
I don't write songs. I've always written instrumental music. I grew up listening to it. I started playing. My first instruments were on violin. That's my first proper instrument that I studied. So I've grown up playing and listening to orchestral music and then instrumental jazz music. So everything I've been introduced with all of my life has been instrumental music. I've grown up with it, and it's just part of me and who I want to be and what musician I want to be. However, I have dabbled with writing songs way back, and I wrote about four. I was all right, but I wasn't happy with them. My lyrics are terrible. We do one still to this day, but it's without the words, but it's called Time Will Sing, which is off, it's the first EP we did, no, the second EP called My Crazy Pony. And that song is called Time Will Sing. There are words somewhere knocking about, and I think I can remember them, but it helps me to convey what I want if it's just music. If words get in the way, I get confused. I'm not very good with words. This is probably apparent as I'm speaking, but I find it easier to focus in on my emotion with music than it is with the words. I don't have the words, and I don't have the skill of delivering the words, but I have collaborated with recently with a hip hop artist from Manchester called Jay Chambers, and we did a 2-track spoken word and rap project called Duo Works Volume 3. So, and it has been a long thought that I would like to do more spoken word projects, and I'm going to look at doing more in the future.
And also, is that the meaning of the jazz basically is they don't have lyrics, you know? So it's basically the music talking.
Yeah. It's the freedom within that the music can give you, because you can interpret music how you want as an individual. Me personally, I find that when words get involved, it starts to become specific. And one thing I do not want to have is to force to have a control over someone else. Let you be how you want to be in response to what you are hearing. So, and I try with my song titles, I try and avoid anything specific, such as like The Journey to Here or My Journey to There, is like, or Sunrise or something like with a specific thing. I want it to be vague, so people can make their own things up. So Again and On Again is a prime example. It's again, if you bear with me here, the reason it's called Again and On Again is because I've written a tune called Anon, which is anonymous, because I didn't know what to call it, and it had that spiritual nature to it. And then I wrote another one, I couldn't think of what to call it, so I called Anon Again. So that's 2 tracks. And then the third one was called Again Anon. And this is the fourth one in the series, which is now a series, called Again and On Again. They've all got like a spiritual quality to it. So, yes.
Yeah, the was very tricky while I was speaking that.
Yeah, I apologize.
No, don't worry. That is the graceful of the thing, you know. And what's the biggest lesson music has taught you?
To keep going, to keep trying. Mistakes can be corrected. That and the, I suppose, a larger thing is just the therapeutic qualities that music has. It's helped me just to step back, think about it, work through some things. It's a release, just a direct physical release. It's a release emotionally. The overriding day-to-day things that it keeps teaching me is that you can get it wrong, but you're not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting myself by getting it wrong. It's like, it's a mistake. We can move on. I can work on it and correct. So it's those three things. Just keep going, keep in trying, and mistakes can be corrected, and ultimately you will succeed.
What's a dream venue or festival that you'd love to play at?
This is a good one. I like stadiums. I like sports stadiums. I like big concert halls. And something about a sports stadium being full. I know in the world of my trio, my fusion trio filling out a stadium is far off, but, you know, it's a dream. But I like the NFL, the American football, and some of those stadiums are insanely brilliant, like bonkers. Soldier Field in Chicago, that's a good one. The Kansas City Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium, that's another great-looking stadium that I would love to just be stood there and looking out for. The Azteca Football Stadium in Mexico City, that is also nuts. So that will be a dream to play in there. That will be insanely brilliant. So, yeah, that would be good.
And do you have any personal routines or rituals that help you to stay inspired when composing?
There's nothing specific like a set routine or like a, I think when I've started writing, it's the inspiration to keep going comes from the small successes. So like when you start writing, you get a good idea for that first riff or that first melody or first rhythm or chord sequence, you get that and you go, oh, that's good, I'm in with there. And it's that then makes me want to move on to the next idea, and then I shape the next idea either on top or after it. And then when that's good, it keeps feeding itself. So and that becomes the routine. I tend to do things in blocks. So rather than setting myself like every other week or every other day, I'm going to do something, I'll practice, yeah. But in writing and composing, it's when that moment arrives in my brain and my creative juices are flowing, it's like I take advantage of it and I try and then keep into like, I need to get back to this piece of music as soon as possible, because it feeds itself. It's just getting a start that's the tricky bit. But once I get that start and I'm hooked in, that in itself becomes the inspiration to keep composing and working on that idea. And then if that idea goes well, it may well trigger a new idea for a new song. And then you're off and the like dominoes are falling then.
And going back to the live music, what is your approach to live music and things? Do you like to play or how is that for you?
The live music, I love playing in live. I love doing the gigs. I'm realizing or accepting or embracing, I'm not sure which one it is yet, but the difference between the studio version of the song, the rehearsal version of a track, and then the live performance of a track. And I really like all three processes. But the playing live performance to an audience who's there and there, no matter whether it's like two people and a dog or one person and a dog or a room full, is that feedback you get, the response that you get, or lack of. But either way, everything is just on the edge. You're playing, I'm pushing it all the time. That's just my personal thing I like to try and do, is always push to the edge of it going a bit wrong, although it's wrong in inverted commas. To try and find, from doing that, you find new things that you didn't think of doing in rehearsal. Your brain's in a different state. So by pushing my technique to try and, I've got the idea first, the technique sometimes is there, sometimes isn't. But by doing that, I can then go away and work on that technique. So it's helping me to discover new things to practice, new things to techniques to learn, and therefore new ways to express myself. So I love performance because of that. It keeps me more and more totally on my toes. But also you get to hear what's the response of people listening, which is always a bonus. Like, oh, they like this song. Well, hey, I'm liking this. It works.
And on the live performance, you go also like on the freeform and things and the improvisations.
And yes,
how is that for a musician? Is I'm a horse on the field free, and you are maybe concentrated on the music and things. How is for you?
So in from the recorded version, it's like its current state. Then in rehearsal, I try and find ways in which we can open up that short form arrangement. We can find places to open it up into regular, I suppose, improvising sections where a bass is taking a solo over a set chord sequence and guitar and drums in like a regular jazz, straight ahead jazz format. But then we're trying to find places where we can open it up so it becomes free. So we're not held to a chord sequence or a set amount of bars or anything. So we're always trying to find places where we can play something clear and defined and then start to move away from that. So it becomes like a freer environment where we are all doing our thing in relation to each other. So it becomes a fully free improvisation away from where we started and then to come back again. So there's three states, the defined idea, the starts of the improvised idea or extemporizing or improvising. And then the third state is where we're all just free and we're trying to, free in the context, I suppose, but we are all letting ourselves go. We want definition, but from that, we know we can just let go and lose ourselves completely, which is a lot of fun when it's, no matter whether it's, you don't know whether it's going to go right or wrong, but it doesn't matter because we know where we're coming back to. So we can stretch it out as long as we want. And we've got, there's one track we play live, which is now 20 minutes, but it doesn't feel like it's 20 minutes. It still feels like it's three. So it's a good sensation when it's going.
If you could collaborate with any artist, past or present, who would it be and why?
I think it would be Stevie Wonder. It's been a constant in my life that I keep coming back to. He's got all of the things going on, the joy, the fun, the sorrow, and just the full-on bearing of the soul when he's singing and just full of expression and joy. And it's got the things I aim to have in my music. And it's just, I just love it. I just think it's brilliant, you know, in every way, shape or form. And so I go in to listen to it from the albums way back and just go and have a refresh, listen to that. What's going on there? Right. There you go. Just get back into making the music. Don't overthink it. But just enjoy and explore all the different things that are going on within Stevie Wonder's music. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel sad, but it makes you feel something, which is what I'm aiming to do as well.
What are your goals and aspirations for the future? Do you have any specific objectives or projects on the horizon?
We've got an ongoing reworks project where we've taken existing tracks and rearranging and reworking into our sound or my sound. And we've got, there's three currently out, three EPs that are currently available. We're working midway through the fourth one. And we're going to keep ongoing doing arrangements of different tracks. We're currently working on one called Almost Blue by Elvis Costello and Take Me With You by Prince. But also, there's been a long-term string works project that I've wanted to do for a long, long, long time. I've got two tracks already written, but they've been around for, 10, 15 years, and I want to get those out and do those. So it'll be the string works project is a project for the trio, but with a string section, maybe an 8-piece string section. So that's what I'd really like to do. And I'm hoping to get that into that properly for next summer.
Now we will listen to your single, Again, Anonag. You can spell it for me, yes. Part 2. Could you introduce it for us and share what you want to express again with this song?
Yeah. So this is Again, Anonag, Part 2. Part 1 is a solo guitar version and Part 3 is the full electric fusion band version, which is going to be released later this year. But Again and Non Again Part 2 is the acoustic folk band version. And it's a chance when we're listening for us to reflect on the things past, present, and future that are personal to us.
Thank you very much. You guys can follow the news and the things and obviously listen to the music of Nancy Young Trio on their website, nancyyoungtrio.co.uk, on Facebook, Spotify, Bandcamp, YouTube, Instagram, and on Manchester on a good day if you're lucky. And again and not again, but you, Nancy Young, thank you very much for your time with me.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.